Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back from living the life you want for yourself. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss, is a show for women in recovery who are ready to live life on purpose. Tune in and let Catherine help you live your truth one day at a time. Now here's your host, Catherine Moss.
Hello, everyone. I'm Catherine Aratimas, and you're listening to Coming Clean Radio here on Transformation Talk Radio. This show is for all the women out there who are ready and willing to free themselves from addiction and self-sabotage and anything that's not serving them anymore in their lives. If you like the show, please like the Coming Clean Radio Facebook page and also sign up for my monthly newsletter at www.catherinemoss.com. And I'm also on iTunes. So if you look for me under my name, you'll find me. And if you can, you know, if you enjoy the show, I encourage you to leave a review. It helps us out. So today we are talking about sobriety and what it's really like in the beginning. I have two guests here today. Kate of the Sober School and Kelly Fitzgerald, aka the Sober Senorita of the blog, SoberSenorita.com. So we're going to discuss some welcome guys to the show.
Hi.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. We're going to discuss some common questions and concerns about sobriety. So if you have anyone listening, if they have any questions of their own, I would encourage you to message in live, and you can go to transformationtalkradio.com and message a question. So before we dive into the questions today, I would be interested in hearing briefly both of your, like, you know, your stories. Like, what was it like and how did you both find sobriety?
Well, go on, Kelly.
Anyone.
How did I find sobriety? I feel like I could make this story very long and it's really hard for me to cut it down. But I have always been a lifelong party girl. Very social, loved going out, finding new groups of people, and traveling, and alcohol was always involved in that for me. And when I went to college, I got very involved in the binge drinking scene, and that really took off there for me. And then after college, that kind of continued, and that's when I kind of realized that it wasn't a normal pattern that everyone sticks to. So after college, I actually moved to Cancun, Mexico for 5 years, and that's where the Sober Senorita was born. That's where I got sober, and it's also where my addiction took off to even darker places. And it was actually I went to a bachelorette party of one of my friends from high school, and we actually traveled to Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic. And it was an all-inclusive resort, lots of drinking. I drank like I normally do. I blacked out, binge drank. And at the end of the trip, I was just feeling very emotionally drained, physically drained, and really left wondering what was wrong with me and why couldn't I control my drinking. There was a relationship I was in that my boyfriend at the time broke up with me because he knew that I was, you know, being irresponsible on this trip and making empty promises to him that I could control my drinking and I couldn't. So in the airport in Punta Cana on the way back to Cancun, I just decided, you know, I can't do this anymore. And I really like asked the universe for help. And that was my sobriety date on May 7th, 2013. And that's the day that I decided, you know, no more drugs and alcohol. And my life has transformed ever since. And it's been the best decision I've ever made.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And Kate, how about you?
Yeah. Hi there. I could really relate to a lot of what Kelly was saying there. And I think my story is quite similar, albeit without the Mexico bit and the nice traveling and the warm weather. But yeah, I drank really heavily throughout my 20s. Always loved drinking a lot. Could always drink a lot more than my friends. And I guess it really started becoming a problem for me as people around me started to settle down and get a bit more sensible, and my drinking just didn't change. And I tried loads and loads of things to try and sort of cut down or to calm down. You know, I just kind of wanted to be that person that could drink on a Friday and a Saturday night and then sort of leave it throughout the rest of the week. But I just wasn't that. I was a very all or nothing person. And my sobriety date is really close to Kelly's, actually. It's April the 6th, 2013. And my main kind of, I think the reason it finally stuck that time was I just had a series of kind of new lows, and they weren't dramatic rock bottoms. You know, I didn't get arrested or go drink driving or lose my job or anything like that. It was just like I was riding this sort of wave where I just seemed to be drinking more and more and more. And, you know, I was really sort of scaring myself and blacking out a lot and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, I was very, very worried in early sobriety that I wouldn't be able to do all the partying and socializing and all the things that I thought were fun, because I'm quite a shy person and alcohol had definitely helped me kind of put myself out there a bit more. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's been a long road, but
I can definitely relate.
The best thing.
Yeah, I can relate to both of you. And my sobriety date is very close to both of yours, just a few months before. And, you know, I know. And all of our names start with K. That's awesome. Yeah. But that you brought up a really good point about a lot of people drink because, like, in social situations, you feel more comfortable. It gives you that liquid courage. So I'd like to start with a question that a lot of people think: is sobriety boring? Are you going to be living a dull life forever after you give up booze? What do you guys think?
No, absolutely not. I think that is such a myth. And here's the thing. Here's the big con: that we are sold alcohol and it's marketed, and everyone around us believes in this idea that alcohol is some magical, like, fun bomb that is going to turn any evening into a brilliant time. And it's just going to kind of have these magical properties and fix everything. But that really, really isn't the truth. And I think once you start kind of seeing past that, you realize that you can have a great time stone cold sober. And you can actually do all the things that you used to do whilst drinking. There's nothing to stop you partying and clubbing until the early hours. You might not want to now you're sober, but, you know, I think that was a really big thing for me, getting my head around the fact that, you know, you are allowed to do this stuff without drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That was one of my biggest fears about getting sober was, oh my gosh, my life is over. It's going to be so boring. And, I even like knew some people that were sober when I was still drinking or had come across them. And I always thought, wow, their lives must be so boring. Like, it must suck. And it was like the biggest myth, like Kate said, the biggest misconception about sobriety is that it's boring and that you're just, you know, resigned to like a life inside your house all the time and you can't do anything fun. But it's totally the opposite of that. And I really had to live it to believe it. And if anything, sobriety has allowed me to have more fun. It's allowed me to be free. It has allowed me to find what I actually enjoy doing, and not, you know, living my life according to my drinking schedule or according to my hangover. Because, you know, I was living by those directions. I had to think about that all the time. And was I feeling well enough to, you know, get up and do my work? Was I feeling well enough to play soccer like I was supposed to? And a lot of times I had to cancel things that I enjoyed doing because my drinking affected everything. So in sobriety, I've really come to realize that you can do everything. Like Kate said, it's so much more fun because you don't have to worry about those consequences of drinking and you feel more free and able to do as much as you want or even more than before in my case.
Yeah, I can really relate. I remember people asking me, they're like, can you do something on you know, whatever day? I'm like, okay, well, let me see. That's Monday, Tuesday. I'll probably be hungover. So no, I can't, you know, like, let me get back to you on another day because I'm going to have a major hangover that day. And like, I was like planning it. And then there's also, of course, like fear of missing out that a lot of people experience.
Oh, yes. I know that one very well. I wrote an article about that, FOMO, fear of missing out. Honestly, that has just melted away for me, like in sobriety. I like don't miss it, like feel like I'm missing out as it pertains to like the drinking and clubbing and bar scene at all, because I know what goes on there. I was doing it every day for years. You know, I know exactly what people are doing there. They're just drinking, they're blacking out, they're making decisions that they probably regret later. And I did that enough times to know that I'm not missing anything.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And I think perhaps where the kind of confusion around the sobriety and being boring, where that issue comes from, is perhaps that when you're not drinking, you can suddenly look at the things that you were doing and they seem very boring, or they seem like things you no longer want to do. So you have to kind of perhaps reframe some of that stuff. But, you know, and I struggle with that at first, but now I actually think that's a really good process to go through. You know, I would much rather kind of know what it is that I love and what I don't love, rather than spend my life doing what I was doing before, which is kind of effectively numbing out all the time and drinking so much that I wasn't really kind of present. And although that made some things more bearable, like a bad nightclub or a bad party, you know, isn't it better to be a bit more kind of fully present and to just leave the bad party if it's bad? So I don't know if I'm explaining myself well enough, but I think there is that kind of, it's a kind of nuanced thing, isn't it? The idea of missing out and it being boring and actually being more aware of what you do and don't like in sobriety.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand. I totally get that. I had the same experience.
Yeah, and I think our definitions of fun sometimes change when we get sober. You know, I know that I found things that I really enjoy, like waking up early and working out, that I used to hate during drinking because, you know, I just didn't have the time or motivation to do those things. So I think it's all about, you know, sobriety is a lot about finding yourself, finding those hobbies that you really do enjoy, and maybe leaving behind the ones that you only enjoyed when drinking was your number one priority.
Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation on what sobriety is really like. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you want to achieve your goals? Do you want to strengthen relationships with others? Do you want to improve your financial status? Colette Marie Steffen is partnering with Mark Kettenbach to bring you an energetic upgrade online experience launching in April. Unfold and develop your full potential. Visit energeticupgrade.com today for more information. That's energeticupgrade.com.
Hey everyone, this is Dr. Pat. I wanted to tell you about a new, powerful, and compelling play by Nicholas Vassili, coming to Seattle July 7th at Cornish Playhouse, Seattle Center, the United States of China.
On one hand, a dedicated American patriot who would give her life for her country. On the other hand, someone who has been battling the injustice and corruption of America most of her life. and she is as confused as any American could be about what she truly believes in. My play, The United States of China, is about the trial of Miriam Hopkins, who is a metaphor for all that America stands for.
This is more than a play experience, it's a movement. It's a movement to create a new level of awareness. Knowledge is power, and we are powerful. Get your tickets today at americathestrong.com.
Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back from living the life you want for yourself. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss is a hit show for women in recovery who are ready to live life on purpose. Tune in and let Catherine help you live your truth one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Shine On Radio, Find Your Shine with Kelly, is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Song of the Heart, Walking the Path of Light, from author and healer Francine Vale, is available now. Through Francine's life story, we learn how imperative it is to love one another. Once this simple truth is learned, peace on earth will prevail. Song of the Heart is a life lived and a story told for this purpose. To learn more about Francine and her amazing gifts, or to order your copy of the book today, visit angelsandlightbeings.com.
Speaking of nightclubs, we're back on Coming Clean with myself, Catherine R.T. Moss. I'm speaking with Kate B. today of the Sober School and Kelly Fitzgerald of Sober Senorita. So people can get in contact with both of you on the Sober School. Is it .com or is it .co.uk?
It's .com.
Yeah. .com and yeah. SoberSenorita.com. And are you guys on social media?
Yes, I am.
Okay, yes. So is it easy everything. To find? Okay. You're on everything.
On Facebook, I'm just The Sober Senorita. On Twitter, Kelly Fitz 11.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm just The Sober School on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram.
Great. Okay, so moving along, we were talking about having fun and sobriety. And now we were talking over a break that it would be a good time to talk about when people are in early sobriety, how do they maneuver different celebrations or social events like parties and like weddings are a huge thing, or being in a bachelorette party. How do you maneuver being around alcohol?
Right.
Especially when you're with your old friends who, yeah. You know, you were kind of, that was your connection in some way.
I think this is a question I'm asked a lot on my blog and on my Facebook page, like how to attend events where alcohol is going to be present. Obviously, we can't avoid it 100% of the time. It's going to be at weddings or, you know, graduations or birthdays and what have you. So I always say that it's a good idea to be prepared for that and to have, you know, some steps to take being there around alcohol and not consuming it. So for me in early sobriety, I remember I attended a wedding, like I think I was 1 month sober, and I actually emailed my close friends who were at the wedding, and they were my best friends from high school, and they had attended the bachelorette party that I spoke of earlier, and then a month later was one of the girls' wedding. And I had emailed them ahead of time and told them, hey guys, like I'm not drinking anymore, so I just wanted you guys to know that before we get to the wedding, and people are asking me to do shots or something. So I kind of think that's a good idea if possible to maybe tell some of your close friends that are going to be at the event. I mean, you don't have to go into detail if you don't feel comfortable. You could just be like, hey, I'm just not drinking today. So don't ask me to, or don't offer me any drinks. And also I always say that it's good to have someone to be able to text or call at an event if you don't feel comfortable, if you're feeling like you are triggered in any way, like if you're feeling like maybe you want to have a drink. I think it's good to have someone to talk to about it. And then the last resort is always to have a way out to leave if you don't feel comfortable at an event like that. If you can, I would just, you know, have a car or have a means of transportation and somewhere to go if you don't feel comfortable, and say, you know what, I put my time in at this wedding. I said congratulations and I'm going to get out of here now because I don't feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. So those are my recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those are good. I think that those wedding receptions are really hard, especially when there's open bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very tempting.
No, I would completely agree with all of those things. I'd probably offer very similar advice, really. I think one of the things is to know that you do have a choice. And, you know, if you feel really, really unhappy about going to an event, there is nearly always a reason or an excuse for not going. And I do think that once you get to a point where your sobriety is your number one priority, then actually it's, you know, it's not that hard to kind of make those difficult decisions and to kind of like put yourself first. And I think sometimes you do need to do that. I mean, when I was quite newly sober, I went to a hen party, or I think you call it a bachelorette party. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I felt really fine, really confident, and had a really good night out. But just a couple of days later, I went to a dinner party and I don't know, I wasn't in a good place that day. And I really thought I would end up drinking, so I just didn't go. And, you know, I felt bad about it at the time, but looking back, I think, you know, it was the right thing to do. So yeah, I just say you've got a choice. Like Kelly says, always have an escape route. And one of the things that it took me ages to learn was that you can just keep it really simple. When someone asks you why you're not drinking, you don't actually owe them an explanation. People might feel like they owe some kind of detailed justification, but they don't. And how other people react to the fact that you're not drinking says a lot about them and very little about mm-hmm. you. So mm-hmm. I think it really helps to bear that in mind.
I've had that same experience, that the ones who are asking were probably the ones who also could have, you know, I don't know. It said, like you said, it said more about them than about me. And personally, yeah. I think that, you know, going to social situations or being around certain people was really a trigger for me. For some reason, when I was around certain people, I wanted to just, you know, totally let loose and, you know, hold on to a lot of friendships. But however, sometimes you let them go. So another question, I guess I'm just bringing up another one really quickly, if you don't mind. So do people need to change their social situations or, you know, with the groups of friends they hang around with?
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? I think it depends a lot of, it kind of depends on that relationship. If you can only get along with someone, or they only want to spend time with you when you're drinking, and your friendship doesn't work in the cold light of day when you're both sober, then I'm inclined to say yes. But you probably don't need to cut them out of your life. They will just sort of fade away naturally. It's a really tough one. And, you know, you don't want to go too far and sort of isolate yourself from everybody you know, because that's not nice either. I think there's sort of a middle path there.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, you have to board your own path and see which friendships can weather the storm, kind of see who's supportive of you as you go along. And like Kate said, I think those toxic friendships might just fall away naturally. I mean, that's how it was in my case. I quickly realized who were just my party friends, and I lost touch with a lot of them after getting sober. And there are others who we started out partying together, and now we have a very strong relationship and friendship that, you know, is not based on partying at all. So it all depends on the person. But yeah, there are certain people that I just don't like to surround myself with now, because I know that their number one priority is still drinking, and that's not mine anymore. So it's harder to relate to them. So in that way, I think getting sober shows us, you know, what our qualities we want in a friend and in any kind of relationship becomes clearer in that way.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I found in that respect is that, because I did lose some friends, they sort of drifted away. But as they left, some other people who kind of been on the sidelines of my life moved in a bit closer, because actually I realized that they have all the qualities that I'm looking for in a friend nowadays. And so that's been a really good thing. It's not all about losing friends. It's a lot about gaining them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and also exactly. becoming a better friend to those friends. Mm-hmm. I had friends that I felt like I took for, you know, honor our friendship. And now, you know, that I'm sober, I'm able to be a better friend and not be so selfish.
Yeah. That's like, a whole nother part of it. I agree. I was not a good friend at all, and not a good girlfriend, and not a good daughter to or sister to in any of my relationships. So really, sobriety has really taught me how to, you know, show up and be in a, provide a, you know, a two-way street for every relationship that I'm involved in. So it's been a great learning process.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take another break. You're listening to Coming Clean Radio. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation on what sobriety is really like. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back from living the life you want for yourself. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss is a hit show for women in recovery who are ready to live life on purpose. Tune in and let Catherine help you live your truth one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit LucidPlanetRadio.com for more information.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Almost everyone at some time in their lives ask themselves, what am I? Most of our questions are ego-generated and simply don't address the problem of our false self. It's time to relax your ego and embody your soul. Dr. Dan Cohen, neurologist, inventor, and author, has created tools to awaken, a new way to transform from who you thought you were into what you truly are. Visit toolstoawaken.com today.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
We're back on Coming Clean Radio with myself, Catherine Aratimas. I have Kate B. here from The Sober School and Kelly Fitzgerald, Sober Senorita blog. We're talking today about early sobriety and what it's really like. You know, I wanted to talk about early sobriety with you two today because we were just talking about drinking memoirs, and I got really into reading those too. And it never seemed like any people really kind of glossed over what it was really like in the beginning.
Oh, I completely agree.
I wanted to know.
So many books are like that.
Did you do? Like, what happened, you know? And it was like, it was so bad. And then there, but it's like now. So it always seemed like I was looking for, like, what is it really like? And I didn't really feel like I found that. Kate, you say that a lot of women, kind of ask you for advice on getting through that 5 o'clock to 7 PM, like hour of the day or a few hours of the day. Cause that's really hard because that's normally when people would start drinking. What advice do you have for people?
Yeah, it's a tricky time of the day. And I remember, when I was kind of going through that, how I'd wake up in the morning and be so adamant that that was it, you know, I was done and there was no way I was drinking again. And I was certainly not drinking tonight. And then, you know, 8 hours later, it was as if it was a whole new person with amnesia who couldn't remember any of those promises. And it was just really kind of hard to get through that time. And so a lot of people struggle with that. And the main things I say are, so first of all, make sure you have something to eat and drink late in the afternoon. I think being hungry and thirsty can really exacerbate any triggers. And it seems like no coincidence to me that we feel the strongest pull to drink at that time of the day when it's actually been quite a while since lunchtime and it's the end of the day. So we are tired and we're kind of irritable and we need, we need a bit of a boost, and wine, which contains a lot of sugar or whatever it is, you know, that you want to drink. Alcoholic drinks have a lot of sugar and they provide us with a kind of glucose hit as well as, all the other things that alcohol does. So have something to eat and drink. I would say try and carve out some time for you, something that you like to do, because again, a lot of people drink because it's kind of a really easy way of relaxing. So is there something else you can do at that time? And I think my third tip would be to play the tape forward. It's really easy to forget all the consequences of drinking when you're in the moment and you're dithering. But if you just fast forward to the next day and how you'll feel and, you know, how you're going to feel when you wake up in the early hours of the morning, that always got me through that trick. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like thinking through the drink, like how, like I'm going to get hungover. I'm going to feel horrible. And also for me, it's like, okay, well, I want this drink, but I know that it won't be just one. and it will just never stop, you know? And that's what, like when I see maybe like two women sitting there with like little drinks and they're just talking and it's just like sitting on the table, I'm like, I don't understand how they can do that, you know, without just being obsessed and not listening to what the other person's talking about. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just don't want to drink this fruity drink. I want to get a real drink, or, you know, so.
I know.
It's this obsession.
We always said we wanted a drink, didn't we? But actually, I never wanted a drink. It was always a bottle at least. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was never like, hey, you want one more? No, I'm good.
Right. And going along with the playing the tape around in your head, it's like, I always have to think, okay, I'm stressed out. And for that reason, like my first reaction is to want to have a drink, but is the drink going to make this situation better? No. And it's actually, in my case, going to make it worse, because every single bad thing that has happened to me in my life, losing purses, getting in trouble, being arrested, all that stuff came with, because I was drinking beforehand. So really, even though I had used it in previous years to cope, it never helped me cope. It only made my situation worse. So I always have to remind myself about that. And now I have, you know, better habits to be a part of when I'm stressed out or after the work day and I want to get some relief. I, you know, work out, I go to CrossFit, I go to yoga, I meditate. So it's about changing those habits.
Okay. So you have like different activities scheduled in the time that you normally would start drinking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really smart. A friend of mine who, she was on the show before, Rebecca Watson. She also writes for a blog, Sunny Sanguinity, and she writes about sobriety, and she talks about how difficult it was, especially cooking at night, because cooking, I don't know about you guys, but like, you know, you just pour yourself like an enormous glass of wine, and it's just, you know, like the drinking and cooking like went together so well, and I really loved doing that. And now she says that she uses like one of those little like pressure cookers. So she puts her meal in there and then she doesn't have to cook and have to be wanting to drink while cooking because the food's already done.
Yeah.
I think all of these situations become easier as time goes on. Obviously in early sobriety, it's the hardest, but I think once we start, you know, sticking to the new habits and really, making sobriety like our way of life, it becomes easier. It really does. I think, you know, this is just who I am now. I don't drink. So it becomes easier to, you know, go to a wedding or, you know, cook at night or not attend happy hour or all these things, because it's just, that's what I do now. That's who I am. And so, you know, if you can get through early sobriety, I promise it gets easier.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And you end up doing things you never thought you would do. I was on the train coming home on Friday. I just had a really, really crazy week. I was really tired, and I found myself thinking, God, I can't wait to get home, and I want to pour a glass of grapefruit juice mixed with some tonic water because that's my favorite drink. And I was like fantasizing about this drink in the way that I used to fantasize about opening a bottle of wine. And I thought, this is so crazy that now that's kind of all it takes. Like, I was just looking forward to getting home and having that and, you know, changing out of my work clothes, that kind of stuff. But you know, if you told me 3 or 4 years ago that I would be really happy with that kind of drink, I'd have thought you were mad. But, you know,
did you guys try to do like non-alcoholic wine and beer in the beginning?
No, I was told to stay away from that. So I did. But now actually I occasionally have a non-alcoholic beer at a barbecue or in the summer if I feel like it, but, I've never really done the non-alcoholic wine. So I don't know if it's any good or not.
I drank, maybe 2 or 3 non-alcoholic beers in my first year of sobriety. I kind of got sober on my own, so I didn't really have anyone to bounce those ideas off of. So I thought, you know, oh, non-alcoholic beer, it's made for me because I'm not drinking. Mm-hmm. But now I know that it's frowned upon in many 12-step fellowships. But I personally, I think it's a good thing to have once in a while, as long as you're not, you know, binge drinking it like you, if you had like your old habits. And I still have one from time to time. I have tried non-alcoholic wine, but wine wasn't really my thing. So I don't know. I don't drink it too much.
That's a good point, because there are certain people who, you know, that's not a good idea for, you know, and that can trigger, you know, past behavior. And I also try to stay away. However, sometimes when I'm at a party and I just want to be able to, you know, cheers with other people, you know, I'll have a non-alcoholic beer. I can't say that I really like it though. It's not really, you know, the same thing. And so lately I'm kind of like, meh, whatever.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking the other day. And right now I'm kind of trying to eat healthier and get in shape for my upcoming wedding. And I'm like, do I really want to sacrifice the almost 200 calories that are in a non-alcoholic beer? Like, I don't want it that bad.
Right. It's like the calories without like the part we wanted. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to discuss further on what sobriety in the early stages is really like. Stay with us.
Awaken to your radiant, authentic self. For over 15 years, Soul Purpose Advocate Nancy Monson has been focused on leading change in the lives of those looking to live their true purpose. She is devoted to supporting people in living a soul-directed life every day. Let Nancy help you overcome fear, worry, and doubt. Visit everydayspirituality.com to learn how Nancy can be your Soul Purpose Advocate.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back from living the life you want for yourself. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss is a hit show for women in recovery who are ready to live life on purpose. Tune in and let Catherine help you live your truth one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, this is Leslie Fontaine, and my show is Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com. When we're bogged down with our emotions, the hardships that plague us in our relationships, at work, our finances, we literally can't see the higher plane where we could be operating from. Tune in to Leslie Fontaine, Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
There are so many resources out there for meditation. But did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Vadili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's A-T-A-A-N-A method.com, and sign up. you will receive your free meditation instantly. That's AtanaMethod.com.
We're back on Coming Clean Radio with myself, Catherine Artimas. Today, we're talking about what early sobriety is really like. So, continuing our conversation, what about people who are deciding to, if they, you know, cutting back, quitting altogether, making a change in their drinking, and their partner is still drinking? How do you maneuver that? What have been your experiences?
For me, my partner and I met drinking, and, so we were very, toxic relationship there at the beginning. We drank a lot together. And then when I decided to get sober, it made him look at his own drinking habits, and he drastically reduced his own, although he didn't have the consequences that I experienced, like blackouts and, getting in trouble with the law and all these other things that had happened to me. Those kinds of things didn't happen to him. And he, always remembered what he was doing. And he was able to, reduce his drinking. And, we worked it out at the beginning. And if he hadn't been supportive and able to change his own habits, I don't think it would have worked out with us. So I'm grateful that he was able to do that. And, living with him at the beginning, he would go out sometimes and I would stay home when I was sober. And I got jealous at the beginning, to be honest. And it took a few months for that jealousy to melt away and to know that, everyone's on their own journey and he's still allowed to go and have fun. And he can drink normally and I can't, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. And did you find that, because the relationship started, as you said, you guys drank together a lot. Did you find that you needed to figure out how to spend time with one another again or in different ways?
Yeah. I think we had to get to know each other again. I think we had to wipe away the drugs and alcohol and really see if there was anything left to salvage. And luckily for us, there was, and we have a lot in common. And today we have a lot of other hobbies that we love to do together, like CrossFit and like going to the movies and traveling. And we're lucky that, when we took away that alcohol that brought us together, there was still something left there. But I think it's not the case for everyone. So I think it's very important to know what your relationship is built on. Do you really have common hobbies and common interests and goals, or were you just partying together?
Yeah, I can totally relate. And it's good to hear that other people have had that as well. When the alcohol goes away, you're like, is our relationship going to make it,
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't in that position. I was kind of single and living on my own when I stopped. And I can only imagine how hard it is if you've got somebody who doesn't want to be, supportive and kind of understanding. It is an extra challenge. But I think the one thing that I would say now, with a bit of kind of distance and a bit of sobriety, is that ultimately stopping drinking isn't that big a deal. It's kind of up there with not smoking or giving up gluten or something like that. It's not an outrageous decision. And if someone, really loves you, then they would want to support you through that, kind of in the way you'd support someone who was trying to lose weight, or, you probably wouldn't leave loads of crisps and chocolate hanging around. And I kind of like to think that a supportive partner would help you through that. But yeah, it's tough, definitely. Mm-hmm.
And so coming up to the end of the show, what about maybe people who are listening in who might think sobriety is for them? However, they don't know if they need to. I know that when I knew for a long time that I needed to just quit, and it was a really, really scary idea. I couldn't imagine my life without alcohol. How do people know if they need to, completely quit or just take a break?
It's hard, isn't it? I just quickly say, I think stop looking at the guidelines and stop comparing yourself to other people. Ultimately, if you are repeatedly drinking more than you intend to, and it's making you feel miserable, then you perhaps owe it to yourself to take a break, maybe 6 weeks, maybe a couple of months, but, you know, take a break and then see how you feel.
Definitely. I think that's great advice. I think, you know, I think I knew deep down inside that I needed to stop. And every single time I drank, something bad happened, or I felt completely horrible the next day, emotionally and physically. And it was disrupting my life. It was, you know, making my relationships, you know, toxic. It was preventing me from going to work on certain days, and was really affecting my life. And I think that's how you know, and you'll never really know unless you give sobriety a shot. So I'm so glad I did, because as soon as I gave it a shot, I knew it was for me, and I knew that my life got so much better. So I think you really need to give it a shot if you're even thinking about it a little bit.
What amount of time do you think is good to give it, just to try it out?
I think at least 1 month.
Yeah, I think maybe you could maybe say a bit more. Because I think if you are a so-called normal drinker, I think you could probably stop for a bit longer. And part of the reason for maybe taking a break is to work out, you know, where you are on that scale. But yeah, I think a month or two, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And so were you going to say something again?
No.
Okay. What tips would you guys give for those people who are maybe freshly sober, or are in their the time, you know, taking a break time? Do you have any advice for those women who are newly sober?
I guess my advice would be stick to what works for you. Explore different recovery programs, or read up on different websites about addiction, and read different books about how to stop drinking or why you want to stop, or really like delve deep into why you're feeling the way you do. I think once you become honest with yourself and you really look at why you were drinking and why you need to stop, things become much clearer. And I also think don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help, because that's something I was afraid to do in the beginning. I really took it on by myself, and I was too ashamed and too scared to ask for help. And I wish someone had told me, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help in the beginning.
That is so huge, asking for help, you know, alcohol is a depressant, and it's also, I mean, for me, it was all about isolating, you know, and I don't need any help and I can do it on my own. And I tried to for a really long time, and that didn't work, you know? So I tried to tell myself, well, the ways that I was doing it didn't work, so I'm going to try something else, you know?
Exactly.
I want to remain teachable. It's so important. Do you have anything to add, Kate?
I completely agree with what you've just said. I think get a community. You can't do this on your own. It's really, really hard to do it when you are isolating yourself. So whether it is going to meetings or reaching out online, surround yourself with people who get you and who can support you. And I'd also say educate yourself, like read as much as you can. All of that kind of keeps you in the right frame of mind, kind of fuels you to keep plowing on, really. Don't give up. I think if it doesn't work out the first time, then, you know, you just have to keep trying. All that sober time counts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Don't give up. Keep trying.
And you both have great resources. Kate, the SoberSchool.com is also somewhere. If you'd like to get in contact with Kate, you can go there, and also has a lot of good resources about sobriety and Sober Senorita. You blog a lot about some really important issues that people can relate to.
Yes.
So, I want to thank you guys both for coming on and sharing all of your experience and your insight. And also thank you for being so courageous about really, you know, putting yourselves out there and being role models for other women. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
Yeah, maybe you guys can come on again soon sometime. I'd like that.
I would love that.
It would be good.
Yeah, I want to thank all of everybody out there also for tuning in to Coming Clean Radio. So please join me every Tuesday at 12 o'clock Eastern, 11 Central, and 9 a.m. Pacific time. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to Coming Clean, the Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss. Join Catherine and countless other women in recovery stepping into their truth and supporting one another, living life on purpose. Tune in each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com or visit the archives at ComingCleanRadio.com.